You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
My name's actually Felix.
The weird, the whack, the wonderful.
Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
In 1692, an astronomer named Edmund Halley sought to explain the variability of the Earth's magnetism. For decades, ships had been relying, purely, on compasses that point towards Earth's magnetic north, which, unlike true north, varies depending on the planet's magnetic field. That variability meant that several ships would find themselves lost, even after following the proper directions. This was a real issue during the 17th century, and nobody understood why the poles kept moving. It was upon this stage that Halley proposed an explanation, that the Earth was in fact hollow, and that its contents were disturbing the magnetic field. To be more specific, Halley's theory suggested that the Earth contained three further shells, held in place by gravity, which all rotated at different speeds. He imagined that these inner shells had their own magnetic fields, which would mess with the readings of a compass. While that theory sounds ridiculous now, Halley was a respected scientist. 10 years prior, he had written a series of observations on what's now known as Halley's Comet, and he published countless writings over his lifetime. It wasn't until about 80 years later that the Earth was definitively proven to be solid, after mathematician Charles Hutton calculated its density for the first time. Even still, the hollow Earth theory never really died out, maintaining avid defenders over the next several hundred years. It also became the center of speculation and mystery, with all sorts of wild theories about what was going on beneath our feet. One of those defenders and speculators was John Cleves Sims Jr., an officer for the American Army during the War of 1812. 6 years later, in 1818, Sims came up with his own variant of Halley's hollow earth theory, and set to work on promoting it across the United States. Sims' theory had one particularly notable difference from Halley's, which was the introduction of massive openings at the North and South Poles. His model of the planet looked essentially like a donut, with a massive chasm right through one end and out the other. Sims' holes weren't sheer drops, though. He claimed the transition was gradual enough that if someone were to keep walking north, they would eventually enter the hole without noticing and continue traveling inward. Sims was so taken with his theory that he toured all over the United States to promote it, publishing flyers and lecturing anybody who would listen. Unlike Halley, Sims' theory never really caught on, and he became a laughingstock among the general public. Newspapers poked fun at Sims' theory for decades, continuing even after his death in 1829. In order to share his theory, Sims took on a lot of debt, which was ultimately transferred to his son, Americus Sims, after his death. Even still, Americus championed his father's legacy, erecting a memorial and republishing his papers almost 50 years later. Ironically, it was probably this ridicule that brought attention to John Sims' theory in the first place, with his concept of polar holes still present in the Hollow Earth lexicon to this day. But after being so thoroughly disproven, who could possibly still believe in a hollow earth? Now that we've set the groundwork, it's time to look at some more modern theories, but before we can embrace modernity, we have to look back at tradition. Subterranean realms are an exceptionally popular phenomenon within numerous faiths and religions. The concept of an underworld is so ancient that it's almost impossible to trace, being a known quantity within numerous ancient civilizations like Egypt, Maya, and Greece. It's not known when the idea of an underworld was conceptualized, because it's so ubiquitous across the world's cultures. I would suggest then that modern interest in the hollow earth theory stems from centuries upon centuries of religious fascination. There is an undeniable historic and cultural influence that pushes us toward the concept of an underworld, so it tracks that some people have become obsessed with proving it. Here's where things get out of hand. The origins of the hollow earth theory are innocent enough, but the ways it's applied today can be really wacky. Key to this modern interpretation of the hollow earth are the writings of Alexandre Saint-Yves, a French occultist who believed he had made contact with a literal underground society. In 1885, St. Eves claimed he had made contact with ascended masters, enlightened religious beings who had transcended humanity. He claims they spoke to him telepathically and told him of a hidden society named Agartha. St. Eves published this information in 1886, where he spoke of an ancient world government that operated within this underground kingdom. It's said that St. Eves, worried he had revealed too much information, sought to destroy every copy of this book in the years following. Only two copies remained untouched before one of the owners, Gerard Incus, republished it in 1910, 1 year after St. Eves' death. The story of Alexandra St. Eves fascinated readers and pushed Agartha into mythological status, where it occupied the same fascination as other lost civilizations, like Atlantis. Over the next 100 years, rumors of Agartha's existence swirled, with many speculating about who or what might live there. It's believed that these rumors found their way to Germany during the build-up to World War II. Modern theorists claim that Adolf Hitler's top advisors were proponents of the Hollow Earth theory, and that, among other occult beliefs, Agartha became a point of interest for history's most infamous asshole. Believers in this theory point to an early expedition to Antarctica that took place in 1938, where Hitler sought to stake a claim on the region. The theory states that the reason behind this expedition was to search for a polar hole, an opening that would lead the Nazis to the promised land of Agartha. Theorists are further emboldened by international regulations that prevent flights from traveling over the South Pole, indicating that there's something we're not supposed to see. Yes, this theory claims that John Simms, disgraced Hollow Earth theorist, was right, and that polar holes truly exist. They also claim that, as the Second World War drew to a close, a fearful Hitler retreated, alongside a small army of soldiers and scientists, to their recently discovered underground paradise. Some claim that a society of Nazis continue to thrive underground to this very day, plotting their return to the surface, perhaps. Obviously, this is all some wild nonsense, but for the sake of being thorough, let's debunk this theory. Let's begin with the expedition to Antarctica. There are actually extensive records about why this expedition took place, none of which have anything to do with secret societies. Ahead of the beginning of World War II, Hitler wanted to prepare Germany to be self-sufficient, realizing that their trade would likely be cut off once the war began in earnest. One of the ways that Germany relied on the outside world was for fat, notably the whale oil that was used in margarine. At the time, Germany relied on trade from Norway to obtain whale oil, but Hitler wanted his own German-controlled source. That's why he ordered the construction of a number of whaling vessels in order to build up his very own German whaling industry. However, as of the 1930s, the commercial whaling industry had effectively stripped the North Atlantic and North Pacific oceans of anything worthwhile, and the Germans had to travel south. It was here that they started to hunt, but it was such a great distance from Germany that it just wasn't sustainable. It was decided then that the Germans would set up a base in Antarctica, where they could manage their whaling endeavors without constantly traveling the length of Africa just to get back home. Thus, the expedition to Antarctica was to set up shop and claim territory, though they did a bit of scientific research as they went, charting about 16% of the as-of-yet unexplored region. Adamant theorists would argue that this was all a cover-up, but the truth is that there's just no evidence to suggest that the expedition had any other ulterior motive. The further argument is that planes are restricted from traveling over the South Pole, that there must be something they're hiding from the general public, but the truth of this is a lot less exciting. Planes are beholden to a set of rules called the Extended Range Twin Engine Operation Performance Standards, or ETOPS, which essentially dictate how long they're allowed to fly without stopping. These rules dictate that most planes can only be about 6 hours from an airport at any given time, which is usually not a problem. However, Antarctica is a massive chunk of uninhabited land, a distance that exceeds the vast majority of flights' ETOPS limits, and so, more often than not, they're forced to travel a less direct route. The truth is that, despite adamant protests by conspiracy theorists, the Nazis probably aren't hiding underground. However, that's not where the theories stop. Certain accounts claim that other beings exist underground, beings that are a lot less human. But that's a story for next time. Next week, we'll dive even deeper underground and discover something larger than life.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
That was Stranger Than Fact on 95 BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.